From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the day the music died. Here's what's happening. Amazon investors are cranking up the pressure on Jeff Bezos to stop selling facial recognition technology to government agencies. The shareholders, with their shares worth about $1.3 billion, have filed a resolution aimed at stopping the company selling its controversial facial recognition technology to these agencies. Interesting. About 1,200 immigration cases in Illinois alone have been canceled since the government shutdown. More than 42,000 cases have been canceled around the country. The government shutdown stems from the dispute, of course, over the border security. But with the government shutdown, immigration cases aren't getting heard, and in some circumstances, it's buying real time for illegal immigrants all over the country. President Donald Trump's conflict with Democrats over the partial U.S. government shutdown has escalated, with Mr. Trump denying House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's use of a military aircraft for an overseas trip in an apparent retaliation for her suggestion that he delay the annual State of the Union address. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com, with us. John, this is kind of getting out of hand, isn't it?
Well, the gloves have really come off.
Jeez.
Now there's no civility left.
It's
now
gone.
Now we've seen the ugliness at its worst. I mean, maybe it could get worse than this, but, I mean, you're looking at, you know, the executive branch and a co-equal branch in the Congress basically at war with each other, and it started as soon as Nancy Pelosi basically, you know, took over as House Speaker again on January 3rd. I mean, this latest tit for tat where yesterday she says, I'm disinviting you to a joint session of Congress for the State of the Union speech.
To the president.
Yeah, to the president. You know, his normal State of the Union speech, which was designated for the 29th of January. And then today, no surprise here, retaliation by Trump saying, okay, you're not going on your junket overseas when this government is shut down. And, you know, you spent enough time over the holidays when he was at the White House waiting for some kind of an overture from, you know, Pelosi or Schumer to be able to resolve this thing, waited weeks. And now, you know, from her trip to Hawaii, and now she's talking about visiting the troops with George, the most important message that you can imagine. She wants to go over there and say thank you to the troops for, you know, their service to the country. Now, come on, millions of dollars, a government jet, and an entire coterie of people to travel with her over something like this when the government is shut down. Somebody has to mediate this situation.
Yeah, and it's got to be done fast. 800,000 government employees without paychecks. How long can they last, John?
Well, there are already reports of them, like fire sales on Craigslist and, you know, them performing all kinds of, you know, other kinds of unrelated kind of work, Uber and Lyft and driving, you know, doing anything that they can right now, because this is a war going on. Let there be no mistake to anybody listening. Our government right now is in a civil war, and Nancy Pelosi and Trump right now need mediation in order to stop this nonsense on both sides. Both sides need to negotiate an end to this.
Yep. Before it's really too late.
And get on with it.
Thank you, John. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. Sad news tonight. Coast to Coast AM guest Hans Christian King has passed away. Hans was an internationally known spiritual medium, teacher, lecturer, and author. He worked for more than 60 years in the field of metaphysics, helping thousands of people throughout the course of his career. He was a guest numerous times with us on the program since 2003 and made many accurate predictions, talked a lot about the spirit world. Hans Christian King, he's gone. Gosh, we're losing way too many of them guests. Giant rocks from space are falling from the sky more than they used to for the past 290 million years. Large asteroids have been crashing into Earth more than twice as often as they did in the previous 700 years, according to a new study. No need to cast a worried glance, though. Asteroids still only smack Earth on average every million or few million years, even with the increased crash rate. Let's just hope it's not in our time frame. Well, we're looking at Saturn at a very special time in the history of the solar system, according to scientists. They've confirmed the planet's rings are very young, no more than 100 million years old when the dinosaurs still walked on the planet. How about that? What else is going on these days? Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Hi, Peter.
Well, good evening, George, and I'm particularly pleased to be here tonight to share some very fascinating reports with the audience. Our trusty webmaster just posted about 72 reports to our website collected over the last 6 days, and among them are the following. First one is from antiquity, from 1980. Boy, it seems like it was just yesterday, George, and it's been almost 40 years now. Hard to believe how quickly time is going by, but this report comes from Athens, Ohio, located about 80 or 90 miles to the east of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. A gentleman writes that he and six of his cousins were watching television when suddenly the room they were in lit up with very bright white light. Of course, their immediate reaction was to go outside and take a look to see if they could see what was causing this phenomenon. To their amazement, they saw a huge disc-shaped craft hovering motionless in the sky. After only a short period of watching it, the object suddenly accelerated, made a turn without banking, which indicated to these kids that it was really something very strange. I urge people to take a look at that report, July 20th, 1980, just posted tonight. Next phenomenon I'd like to talk about is, I've talked about before, these green fireballs that have been occurring. I've reported them on at least two occasions that I remember, including just last week. But we have several more reports. In fact, the first one comes from Georgetown, Massachusetts, the 15th of January, two days ago. Gentleman writes that he was driving on Interstate 95 in Georgetown, about 10 or 20 miles north of Boston, driving to the south, and a green fireball. He estimated it was within 100 feet of him, but that's only an estimate. It's very difficult to look at a bright object against a dark background and know how far away from you it is. It overtook his car, and he saw it for only 5 seconds, but he writes that it was one of the more dramatic events of his life to this point. The next reports are like the first one about green fireballs. This is, comes from last yesterday, 12:40 in the morning, Quincy, Massachusetts. This is south of Boston. Two witnesses were driving to work at 12:40 in the morning, and they too saw a green fireball traveling very low above the horizon, parallel to the horizon, the writer implies. Blue-green, and it left a trail of thin white smoke. The reason I mention that is we have a report that came in 20 minutes after the report from Quincy from Oakdale, New York, on Long Island, Suffolk County. A blue-green fireball over wetlands, probably the same object seen from Quincy, except this object was seen to execute about, the witness estimated, about a 90-degree turn, slow down, speed up, and suddenly streak out of sight into the night sky. Very interesting report. Two nights ago, just 48 hours ago, 11 p.m., 15th of December, January, make that, Cathedral City, California, down near your area, gentlemen saw a craft, allegedly saw a craft, come out of solid cloud, had no lights. It was illuminated only by ground light or light from the moon. 5 seconds later, it went back into the clouds, disappeared from sight. We'll never know what that object was, but a very, very intriguing incident. Last report comes from Baxterville, Mississippi. This was 2 o'clock on Wednesday, the 16th, just yesterday. Baxterville, Mississippi. A woman writes that she was awakened by a pink light that just filled her bedroom. Her husband was out hunting coyotes with a friend, And when he got home, he apprised her of the fact that he'd seen something very interesting in the night sky, an interesting light that went from horizon to horizon. It occurred at the same time her bedroom filled with light. So that's my report. A lot of reports I haven't touched on. I urge people to go to UFOCenter.com and read the rest of them.
And we'll see you March 23rd in Everett, Washington, Peter.
I'm looking forward to it, George. That's my home turf. I'm really looking forward to being back there.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you. We'll talk to you next week, too. Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Netflix is quickly approaching 150 million subscribers. They said they added 9 million new paying subscribers during the final 3 months of 2018. Isn't that amazing? 150 million subscribers watching stream television programs. Up next, Joseph Meyer back with us on Coast to Coast. We're going to talk about the volatile market and how it affects all of us in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Joseph Meyer back with us, a 30-year-plus veteran of the securities industry. He has worked as an arbitrator and mediator for the NASDAQ, the New York Stock Exchanges. He runs Meyer & Associates, which is a Florida-based investment and consulting firm. And, of course, we're going to talk about all these issues that affect all of us. Joseph, welcome back to the program.
Good evening, George. Thank you for having me as your guest. Always a pleasure to visit with you, George. Thank you so much.
You should be the mediator on the government shutdown. We got to get this thing going again, Joseph.
It's a mess.
My gosh. I mean, is anybody going to budge?
I hope so.
Nobody's blinking right now. So what do we do?
That's the million-dollar question, George. No one seems to have the answer as to what we do.
I mean, and how long can a government last without funding before everything starts collapsing?
Not very long.
No. We've got to be the laughing stock of the world right now.
Well, we're certainly not looking too good right now, that's for sure.
All right. Now, Joseph, the stock market took it on the chin toward the tail end of 2018, a little rebound, but not much. What's the picture look like for 2019?
Well, I think we're entering a recession, and I think we're in the midst of a bear market, George. That's what I think is ahead of us, quite frankly, and no one at this point is prepared for that.
Now, what makes you say that?
Well, when you look at the volatility, I think it's indicating very clearly that we've got a change of trend underway. And we've had rising interest rates, as you know, for 2 years, and I think it's ended the bull market and it's pushed us into a recession, although it's very early.
If we hit a recession in 2019, it is going to affect, no doubt, the 2020 presidential election, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, George. No question about that.
And it would look bad for the president, right?
Well, it certainly wouldn't look good. I think that has to be said.
So, I mean, would they try to hold off or what?
Well, I think that would be the plan, but I think when you look at what's going on in Europe, it's going to spill over and come across the Atlantic. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when, George.
Yeah, tell us now, Joseph, what is happening in Europe? They seem to be a little bit of pandemonium over there. What's going on?
Well, I think the biggest problem as we go forward with the European Union is the banks that oppose the European Union. As you know, Italy's banks are in trouble, and I think it could be the next sovereign nation to really have some big problems that will affect us and affect us dramatically here in the U.S., George.
How so?
Well, I think these banks are all interconnected internationally, and you can't paper over these bad loans any longer. You can't keep printing money, George. We're at the end of the line.
Well, that's true, Joseph. No question about it. Now, what about the housing market? You know, the bubble hit us in 2007 and 8 with those derivatives, and the housing market fell apart and everything else. Can that duplicate itself again, sadly?
Sadly, I think you hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly what I think is ahead of us, George. You repeated that debacle.
Now, what are the signs out there?
Well, I think, quite frankly, housing is just too high for the average American. We got mortgage rates going up and people being required now by lenders to meet a very strict criteria to buy. Those are the things that I think could change the market, George.
What about the interest rates, Joseph?
Well, quite frankly, in my humble opinion, I don't think they're done going up.
Oh, gosh. The higher they go, the worse it gets.
That's exactly right, George.
Well, you see this. I see this. Don't they see this?
They don't want to see it, George, quite frankly. They want to believe the good times will last forever, and you and I know that's not the case.
They can't be that crazy or dumb, Joseph.
Well, they're in denial, George.
Well, denial on purpose or denial out of naivete?
Both.
That's dangerous.
Very dangerous, George. We're living in very dangerous times.
Well, and what about the stock market? Let's get back to that for a moment. How's that looking for
you? Well, I think we made a peak on September 21st, and I don't think we'll exceed Dow level 26,951, 2940 in the S&P 500, or 8133 in the NASDAQ. I don't think we'll surpass these levels, George, again, in my humble opinion, for at least a decade. I really don't.
We talk a lot about gold and silver investing on the program, Joseph, and the last time we talked, you were very positive about gold and silver. How are you feeling now about that?
More bullish than I've ever been. I think it's going to be the best performing asset class in 2019, 2020, George.
And safe, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And
people lose sight of the fact, George, that gold and silver are storage of value and a hedge against inflation.
Now, when they do this, when they hedge it against inflation, we hear that China, for example, they're involved. What are they doing with oil? They're selling oil for gold or something?
Yes, they are. Iran is selling oil for gold. China's buying oil for gold. Russia's selling oil for gold. This is a much different time, George. Most people have failed to recognize what's truly going on internationally.
Well, they used to use dollars, right?
Yes, they did.
And so they're getting out of that? That's dangerous. Isn't that what got Saddam Hussein in trouble?
That's exactly what got him in trouble, George.
He got he decided he wanted to get out of the dollar and use whatever other currencies available to him. And we said, no, you're not. And look what happened. Now, but what are we going to do? We're not going to do anything to Russia and China, are we?
Well, let's hope we don't.
I don't think we can.
Well, you know, when you talk about Russia, it's a special situation, but I'm more concerned with China, George.
Tell me why.
They're sitting on $3.1 trillion of U.S.-denominated assets. They've refused to buy any more government bonds, but they haven't sold yet. They're also sitting on about 30,000 tons of gold. Most people don't understand that.
That's a lot of gold.
A lot of gold, George. No two ways about it. They report to only hold 3,100 tons.
Joseph, I've always heard that we don't have any gold at Fort Knox, that it's just a ruse.
Well, we haven't had an audit of Fort Knox since the Korean War in 1953, so who knows if there's any gold there, George?
You go in there and it's empty, but we're guarding something, trying to give people the impression that it's still there.
We're guarding a building.
Exactly, exactly. And didn't we lose a lot of gold in the towers during the 9/11 disaster?
Yes, we did.
They had it stored away there or what?
It was stored in the World Trade Center, but it's never been accounted for.
Joseph Meyer with us. His website is straightmoneyanalysis.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. So if you're just, a person, married, couple kids, you've got a, respectable income, how do you protect yourself against what you think is going to happen?
Well, I think you got to own gold and silver. There's no two ways about it. You want to have adequate cash reserves, George. These are times when you need cash. If you're in the stock market, you want to sell your winners and cut back on your losers and move to the sidelines, because I think we're looking at significantly lower prices. This bear market, and I'll characterize it as being generational, is going to devastate the average portfolio. No two ways about it, George.
If you had cash and you were paying, let's say, 18% on your credit cards, would it behoove you to pay off those cards with that cash?
Definitely.
It would. Okay. Even though cash is king and you may deplete your cash reserves, you should still pay it off?
Well, you don't want to deplete the cash reserves entirely, but you want to use a portion to pay down that credit card debt because those interest rates are exorbitant.
That makes sense. All right, stay with us, Joseph. We're going to come back in a moment and take some phone calls with you. Our listeners very concerned as well. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, as we were talking with Peter Davenport about the Everett Washington show, he will be one of our guests. But come on out. If you're going to be in the area, if you want a nice little vacation, come on out as well. March 23rd, Everett, Washington at the historic Everett Theater. Get your tickets at events at coasttocoastam.com. That's right at the top of the homepage or in the revolving carousel reel of pictures. We're there, too, with a direct link or this phone number to call the theater, the Everett Theater in Everett, Washington, March 23rd, 425-258-6766. 425-258-6766. Then Columbus, Ohio, May 11th, another live show, smaller theater. Tickets will go really fast, but we'll do just about everything and then have our meet and greet afterwards, live band as well. Events, get your tickets that way or call their ticket center at the Lincoln Theater in Columbus, Ohio at 614-469-0939. 614-469-0939. And we are back with Joseph Meyer. We'll take your phone calls as well. He's predicting somewhat, I could say, Joseph, doom and gloom for 2019. Is that accurate?
That's exactly what I see ahead, George. Unfortunately, I wish I could give you better news, but I just don't see it.
When you get into doom and gloom, how do you get out of it? What pulls you out of it so things are start, you know, booming again?
Well, we go through cycles, and we'll get through this one just like we have every other, George. It's just a question of waiting it out and doing what's necessary to survive.
Well, what gets us through the cycle, Joseph? I mean, is it knowledge and hard work, or is it just, some timing that does it?
It's all of the ones you just mentioned, George, and I'll add one more, patience.
Yeah. You got to have that. And not a lot of people do have patience right now.
Unfortunately, they don't.
Let's go to take some calls. Leo's in Flint, Michigan. Welcome to the program. Hi, Leo. Go ahead.
Hey, George. How are you?
Happy New Year. Good. You too, Leo. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to ask your guest tonight. Very informative, as always, and I appreciate the information. But a few years back, when we started getting into our last recession, I was told by someone that I was purchasing silver from that the eventual plan was to switch over to the red dollar. And I just wanted to ask your guest, Mr. Meyer, if he has heard anything about the red dollar.
Unfortunately, I haven't heard anything about that, but I thank you for your kind words about my previous appearances. Thank you.
And Leo, tell us a little bit about the red dollar.
Well, what I was told is that eventually we're going to, like we did in the past, when we went off the gold standard and the silver standard, we're eventually going to devalue our currency by 90%. Well, basically, we're going to go to 1/10 of what it's worth at this current point. So a dollar in the future will be worth 10 cents. Basically, everybody's accounts, if you've got $100,000 in the bank, you're going to turn around, it's going to be
$10,000. Oh,
God. They're going to take a zero off to everybody's account.
They're just going to take it.
It's going to be a deal with China. That's why they're going to call it the red dollar. And China's debt will be allowed to, we will end up paying dollar for dollar with all the debt that we owe China. And that's the only way we're going to get them to agree to this.
Joseph, will they literally be able to tap into your bank account and take the money?
I wouldn't rule it out, George.
Oh, geez. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Unfortunately, not very much.
Litigate, but who wins, right?
The lawyers.
Joe in Connecticut. Take it away, Joseph.
Hello, George. Hello, Mr. Meyer. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Good. I love the show, and I've called Coast to Coast in the past with other guests. Since 2002, I've been just hoarding silver coins from 64 and before.
Smart.
And I do have some cash, but my two questions to you are this. One, on a percentage basis, for every $1,000 in assets, what percentage should be in silver coins and what percentage in cash? Because your last caller indicated that cash may not be a good idea. And second of all, the last two times silver hit $49 an ounce, it immediately sold off, severely. And this time, do you think it will hit 49 and then go higher or sell off again at 49? And those are my questions. Thank you.
All right. Let's start with the silver one first, if you can, Joseph.
Well, I think the answer to the first question, you want to have a 50-50 allocation, 50% silver, 50% cash. As far as the other question, will we go to the old highs in silver, 49, 45 an ounce and sell off? I don't think that's going to happen. I think once we make a new all-time high in silver, we're going to go significantly higher, George. I got a long-term target on silver, 500 an ounce.
Well, you may be right about that too, Joseph. I have a feeling. I don't think people are going to dump like they did in 2008.
Not this time, George.
No, they're going to hang in there. Bob in Miami, Florida, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Bob.
So everyone's talking about the dollar's collapse, and we're all hedging our bets with this, that, and the other thing. And there's even talk in the cryptocurrency sphere of the Federal Reserve implementing their own crypto coin in lieu of their fractional reserve banking system that we know is debt-based, that we know a creature from Jekyll Island was behind.
You got
it. So on and so forth. So let's talk about what we do next in lieu of the dollar. It's obviously not a sustainable system. We know central banks around the world are keeping us enslaved. What are the alternatives in the economic world that are viable beyond, again, fractional reserve banking?
Well, this is why you need gold and silver. We're going to go to a digital currency. Again, it's not a question of it. It's a question of when. And you want the convertibility of gold and silver into the digital currency. That's why you own the precious metals.
Joseph, since you've been doing the forecasting, you've been doing it for 30-plus years.
50 years.
50 now. Have you ever felt more right about yourself than you are right now?
No, I have not, George, quite honestly.
So the odds of you missing are pretty low. Right?
I guess you could say that.
Now,
our track record speaks for itself, George. We've caught all these markets over the years to perfection.
Will it be as bad as 2007 and 8?
It'll be worse.
Oh, God. That was. Are we going to have bailouts? You know, we bailed out General Motors.
George, the banks are going to grab your money and bail themselves in.
Now, will they ever give it back to us?
Well, we hope so.
Yeah, but when? Let's go to Ron in Wisconsin. Take it away. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I heard you guys talking about Fort Knox has no gold, or you know, we don't know if it has gold.
Right. We're just surmising that.
I'm a truck driver. And
by the way, thank you for doing what you do. You keep America going.
I just want to tell you there's five Fort Knox buildings in the USA.
Five?
Seen it. Five. We've been taking gold, and the reason why I know that is I was going to get a job taking, you know, be a truck driver for the government, and they haul 200,000 pounds of gold every week. Okay?
And take them to these five spots or what?
Yep. Yes, take them to the five spots. 400,000 pounds per week. They can overweigh their tractors, the trailers. I see it with my own two eyes. I go to a gold mine. I deliver, me personally, I have delivered grinders. If anybody knows what a grinder is, you grind the rock to get the gold out.
Right.
And silver and,
right.
And all that, okay?
Powder it.
So, right. They powder it and then they separate it. And I watched I talked to the guards and they showed it to me. I walked into the trailer. I just seen gold and so much gold, it's unbelievable with our stamp. They told me straight up that we have enough gold. And you don't really want everyone to know that we have so much gold that you don't have to worry about the dollar. The dollar will be there And they've been you know, taking gold from these gold mines for the last 250 years and taking just as much what I told you, 400,000 pounds of gold every week and bringing to these full gold mines.
Jeez.
I have...
And we is it our perception, though, they want us to think everything's in Fort Knox when it's spread out all over the place?
Yes. Yes, that's what they want. That's for security. That's what I asked that. That's for security.
That probably makes sense.
Yeah. Other governments from other countries could come over here and go there. They won't find the rest. But we have that much. We probably, they told me, I picked up one of the bars. Interesting.
It's probably in the money pit at Oak Island in Nova Scotia.
Well, there's a few nearby. The gold mines are out west, and there's a few, but there's like four we pull gold from. The big one I went to is, you know, they call it the $1 trillion road I drive down because they got to make the road out of gold.
All right, well, let's get Joseph's take on this. Thank you, Ron. What do you think of this secret hoard of gold, Joseph?
Well, I hope it exists, but if it does exist, why don't they let us see it, George?
Well, maybe they don't want the world to know we've got that much. Who knows, huh?
Well, let me go on the record and say this. We will never see these current gold and silver prices again in our lifetime. That's how strongly I believe in where gold is headed, George.
That's through the roof, then, you're saying.
That's exactly right.
What a great investment for anybody to own. Just to pile it in there. That would be exciting. And where do you see oil going these days?
A lot higher. I think we've seen the lows in $45 a barrel.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
I think we work our way back to 60, 70, and long-term over 100, George.
Predict the 2020 election if things are as bad as you say they're going to be. Are you talking about a Democrat in office next?
I don't think you can rule it out. It could be a distinct possibility.
Maybe even an independent?
Could be.
But you don't see a re-election with the President Trump?
Well, I don't know if he's even going to run for re-election.
No, that's true. We think he will, but who knows yet?
Well, hopefully he does.
Who knows? Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Joseph, I've been buying bullion, gold and silver, for a couple of years. I haven't bought American Eagles. I won't touch New Mexico coins. I'm just wondering if you think bullion is better than the Eagles. And my other question would be, if you have a 401k, would you get out of stocks and go heavy into bonds, or what would you do?
I would get out of stocks, I'd get out of bonds, and I'd go 100% cash, and I'd continue to add to my precious metals. That's what I'd do.
Okay, and then would you buy bullion or would you buy coins?
Both.
A little mixture?
Yes.
What percent of your portfolio, Joseph, would you hold in precious metals?
At least 30 to 40%, George, at current levels.
Why, that's pretty good. That's high. In the old days, it was like 5 to 10%, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that's pretty high. But you're going to get good returns sometime. Tom in Chico, California's turn. Welcome to the show. Hello, Tom.
Hey, George. How are you today?
Okay, thank you.
My question was, you heard about the fire up here in Chico. I was curious what the situation is going to be if they court or whatever rules that PG&E has to pay for all this. How is it going to go to the ratepayers, you know, the people that subscribe to the service that
you'll pay for it?
That provides.
Yep.
Do you think that it's going to? The government's going to take over the power company, or?
You heard about that, Joseph. The utility company with the biggest in the world is about ready to file bankruptcy
end of this month.
To protect themselves because they're, you know, some people are blaming them for starting these huge fires that, you know, killed off 86 people and 15,000 homes.
Very true, George. These fires didn't start by themselves, that's for sure.
No, they sure did not. They did not at all. But he's right. Who pays for it? It's going to be the utility company customers, right?
Absolutely. They're always the ones that pay. What else is new?
Never stops. Steven is truck driving in North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, George. A couple of great shows this past week.
Thank you, sir.
You hit the nail on the head with the geo engineering the other night. I was trying to call in.
It was
good
last
night. Had me on fire. I wanted to ask the guest, there's rumors on YouTube, again, rumors, Trump maybe try to put us back on the gold exchange. And if we've got this great hoard of gold that the previous caller called in about, that kind of seems like a distinct possibility.
We went off the gold standard in 1971, Joseph.
We went off the gold standard August 15, 1971. We were only on it 27 years. We've been off of it, as you know, George, now 48. But at some point, if we don't go back on the gold standard, China will.
Now, it would have been President Nixon who got us off the gold standard,
yes,
right?
He did, and he did it because the French were trying to cash in dollars for gold because we were spending money and printing it recklessly during the Vietnam War, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But was it smart at the time to go off the gold standard as a defensive move?
I don't think we had any choice. We were spending so much money in Vietnam, we had even tapped the Social Security Fund, which has never been repaid. Most
Jeez.
People don't even know that.
That's unbelievable.
They took money out of Social Security to continue to fund the war, George.
Gosh. What about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? That's cost trillions of dollars, hasn't it?
$5-6 trillion.
And the lives?
And the lives. Do you know when you talk about the national debt, which is now $22 trillion, about half of that national debt's attributable to the cost of various wars we've been involved in?
I believe that. I believe that, and there'll probably still be more. I mean, I think the next tinderbox is going to be China and Taiwan. Watch that happen. And what are we going to do about that? Are we going to fight with China over Taiwan?
I don't think you can rule out anything at this point, George. That's why you got to be prepared.
I mean, I think China will run Taiwan like they do Hong Kong, and just
yes, they will.
Same kind of system. Just let them do their thing, but China wants to know it's theirs. That's the whole thing. Joseph, thank you for being on the program. Really appreciate it. Joseph Myers, his website, straightmoneyanalysis.com. Up next on Coast to Coast AM, The Day the Music Died. It's an incredible story of a horrid plane crash that occurred back in 1959. We'll tell you about that when we come back.